From the reading of the prophet, those centuries before Christ, this Gospel of John, probably the latest and the interpretive gospel some decades after the life of Christ, from the first chapter, this, the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not that light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory as of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. And this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That remarkable Christian brother, Brennan Manning, tells an interesting story about being in Chicago's O'Hare Airport a few days before Christmas when the weather closed in and a lot of flights had been canceled. He described it as a writhing mass of irritable, impatient, frustrated people. Some of you may have been in O'Hare in those kinds of circumstances. That's a very good description. And he was one of them. But he said, sitting just across from him in one of those plastic chairs was a black lady with a little baby. And she was just chuckling. And she was blowing the baby's lips and just chuckling. And finally, he couldn't stand any longer. He went over to her and said, "Ma'am, all these people, all these frustrated people, and you're chuckling, you're laughing. Why?" And she says, "I sure am." She says, "Christmas is coming. And that baby Jesus sure do make me laugh." Brennan Manning takes a long time to ponder that. And we're going to do that tonight. There's something about the way God comes that just ought to set forth mirth in our lives. You see, we identify, those of us here, we identify home and Christmas. They sort of go together. We put them together. One of our great sentimental songs from the Second World War period, "I'll be home for Christmas, you can count on me." You know, and all those things like sleigh bells and mistletoe that we've never seen a lot of us are all part of that ethos that is Christmas. And I'm that way. When I was an adult and married and a young pastor, I would knock myself out. I'd have Christmas service and get in the car and drive like crazy to be at home, my home, because all those things that are home to us, things that are familiar surroundings and parental love, family love, and soft light, and singing, and caring folks, all those kind of things are part of what we identify as Christmas. And it's interesting here how we've gathered here on Christmas Eve as the family of God.
just to hear the story of the birth of Jesus that we've heard so many times before. Why? Well, for one thing, we look at Christmas as a time to return home. The reality is that for many people, it is not that at all. You know that, don't you? You've read it. It is a time for many people of acute loneliness, of depression, of out-of-control things. We're away from home, either geographically, because we can't be with our family, or away from home spiritually. Somehow we've wandered away from God. And somehow in Christmas we have that longing to return home. But home and Christmas, time of return. Look at the passage of Scripture, though, from Luke that is so familiar about the registration that Caesar Augustus called. In the fourth verse of the second chapter of Luke, it says, "So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth," that's his hometown in Galilee, "to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born." You see, what you see in that is that all the things that we anticipate, that we mentioned about home, about familiar surroundings and family love and soft light and singing and caring folk, none of those things were present at the birth of Jesus. They were away from home. The circumstances were horrendously inconvenient. Bewilderment, pain. Those of you who have been mothers and given birth to children and know the agony of growing contractions and childbirth and all of that kind of thing can appreciate that. You were camping out and yet away from home with all of that. Guess what? God came. Christ was born there in that place in Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing? God came to Mary and to Joseph in Bethlehem when they were away from home. What we're really celebrating here at Christmas time is the God who in love came in that once for all episode of Jesus Christ, but who then again comes and comes again unexpectedly, at unexpected times and at unexpected places to meet with us and to give us abundant life and meaning and hope and new life in strange places. He does that. Do you know, it's interesting, this story about Mary and Joseph being away from home. It sort of fits a pattern that runs through Scripture. You know, the Bible is like a great symphony. There are these themes that occur and recur time and again. And one of the recurring themes in Scripture is that of journey. People on a journey. Abraham went out from Ur of the Chaldees. Jacob was on a journey to get away from his father-in-law. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Joseph on a journey not of his own liking down into Egypt. Moses on a journey in the wilderness. Israel, Sinai. All of those journeys in Scripture. And then the time came when Israel was exiled and they journeyed and they journeyed back. And here again it is. Here it is. Joseph and Mary on a journey. They went up from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And guess what? God met them. God was there. God was born. God revealed himself. You and I are on a journey, aren't we? All of us are on that journey. A journey questing for life and its meaning. A quest to be accepted by others, by God. A quest, a journey, questing for fulfillment, questing for God. And this celebration of Advent, of Christmas, says to us again that whoever we are, And wherever we are in that journey, away from home, near, far, God has a way of coming to us. Bethlehem is where God meets us away from home, in places and in times that we least expect. God is being born in our lives. He was born once for all in His Son, Jesus Christ. But He keeps on coming. Some of you may have never gone on that journey into a far country where you were far away from God or from friends. But remember that Christmas says that God meets you. It's interesting that Benjamin Weir, one of our Presbyterian pastors, was one of those hostages over in Syria. Talks about being chained to that radiator for all of those months, and how at Christmas time, God was there with him in a special way, the God who meets people in unexpected places. That's what makes Christmas such a fascinating mystery. Isn't it incredible that all these centuries, all these generations, and all the unbelievable circumstances like Benjamin Weir and so many others over all these years, still somehow Christmas, God's people come back to the manger. They come back with fascination to that place where God was born. And as we are observing this night, they come back to this table where the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ, remind them and remind us that God meets us in all the journey of our life. Where God meets with us and says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." To the Lord who says, "Lo, I am with you always." To the Lord who says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." To the Lord who says to us, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." To the Lord who says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That remarkable fact of God who loves us, who came in Christ, and who comes and comes again. I think that's what that black lady in O'Hare Airport knew, that so many of those other anxious passengers did not know. On this Christmas, whether you are at home or away, whether you are at home or away geographically or spiritually, tomorrow, wherever you are, whether you're in a family gathered around the tree or whatever you're doing, remember that. Remember the carol we have sung, which says, "No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek hearts will receive him still, the dear Lord enters in." That baby Jesus, he sure do make me laugh. Hallelujah. Praise God for Christmas. Amen. You would like to kneel, if you can find room in those pews, you may. It's a fitting posture. But let us confess our sins. We also come to this table in a figure far away from home. We come kneeling before the mystery of the incarnation of God, the wonder of Christ's love, and the knowledge of our own unworthiness, our failures and sin, and yet it is the holy God who comes to us in whatever place we may be and invites us to receive his gift of love and grace and forgiveness and newness. He has come to us so that we may also be born anew into his family and kingdom as sons and daughters. Let us then freely confess and say to God who comes what is true of us. Let us come out of hiding on this Christmas Eve and flee to the Christ who comes to seek and to save such as we. God, hear now the confessions we make in the silence of this moment. And let us now receive again God's gracious word of forgiveness. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by his grace that we have been saved. Amen.